Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 17 through 21. Mark 14, 17 through 21. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes, that it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born."
Many of you are aware that Jim Cardin was taken to the emergency room this afternoon. He was having vertigo-like symptoms, and they checked him, and there's been a blockage found. I can't speak on where or the details of that, but he has been transferred to Johnson City Medical Center, and he will meet with cardiovascular specialists either this evening or tomorrow. So we want to keep Jim in our prayers in a very special way. He's not in a critical mode, I don't think, but certainly this is something that they need to find out more about and treat if it is something that needs to be treated. So do keep Jim in your prayers. Good to see you this evening. I hope you are doing well, that you've enjoyed this day inside. Good napping weather, right? So hopefully you've already had your nap and you won't need one for the next hour. But we are glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad you've come our way. Come and be with us anytime you can, but it's good to be together, no doubt. Get your Bible out. If you've still got your place at Mark 14, that's where we're going to begin. So be turning there if you have not gotten there or closed your Bible. There is a big market I found by doing an internet search on pre-tests. And I'm talking about if you are going to be taking a major test like the GED or the MCAT or the LSAT or SAT or something like that, then there's a lot of tools out there that will give you an idea of here is what you're going to be tested on. And it's good to know that, isn't it? Because it can show you the areas in which you are weak, and maybe you can do something to improve in those areas of weakness. Well, what we're looking at in the text tonight is kind of like that. Jesus is telling the disciples, here is what you're going to be facing. And it was an opportunity for them. It was an opportunity for them to see, well, there is a weakness here. Maybe we should do something to address that. But unfortunately, they didn't. Can we learn from that? Can we learn from this occasion when the disciples were all asking, "Is it I? Lord, is it I?" And I think sometimes that's a very good question for you and me to ask. Let's get into this study. We're going to talk, first of all, about Jesus' warnings of trials ahead. And we're talking again about Mark 14. Now, in Mark 14, Jesus and his apostles have gathered to partake of the Passover feast. And as the evening began, everything was just as it had always been in a number of different Passover feasts. But then it began to get different. When Jesus took off his cloak and put on the garment of a servant and began washing their feet, that was totally unexpected, something that really shook them up. But then he continues with that which was unexpected in the comments that follow. So let's again go to Mark 14 and let's look at verses 17 and 18. Mark 14, verses 17 and 18. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Now that must have shaken them up quite a bit. For Jesus to say, one of you is going to betray me. Now, they didn't know the particulars other than Judas, who was there at that moment. But the rest of them had no idea what Jesus was talking about. But the very thought of somebody, one of us, one of the 12, betraying Jesus? Oh, surely not. And so that's where we read in verse 19 this information. Mark says, they began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after another, is it I? Now, what do you think they were thinking when they asked that question? Is it I? And of course, the first thing that comes to our minds is they were being honest about it. They were saying, Lord, am I that one? Do I not realize the danger I'm in? Do I not realize what I am capable of doing? Is it me that's the one that's about to deny you, betray you? Or I think it could also be this possibility, and that is, you don't think it's me, do you, Lord? I mean, tell me, if you think it's me, let me set your mind straight on that. And so that may be the more likely reason why they're asking the question. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They're genuinely looking at themselves and saying, is that me? Am I the one you're talking about, Lord? The one that will betray you this evening? And again, remember, Judas was there. Judas, the only one that this was talking about, could have used that opportunity to say, you're right, Lord. That has been my plan. I repent of that. I know now what a terrible thing it is. I'm not going to go through with it. He could have done that, but he didn't. But let's read on, because they're all incredulous about this. They're thinking, really, Lord, come on, why are you saying that? Look at verses 20 and 21 of Mark 14. He goes on to say, he said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Now, especially notice what Jesus says there, as it is written. Now, you could say, well, that's generally talking about how Jesus must go to the cross. He must bear the sins of all the world. But it may be that he's talking even more specifically than that. In prophecy says, there will be one who betrays me. He would have been thinking, of course, about Psalm 41 and verse 9, where that very idea comes up, that my familiar friend has turned against me. He has raised his foot against me. The one who eats bread with me has turned against me. And that's the idea. So Jesus is saying, yes, this is the case. It is prophesied. Now, that didn't mean that Judas could not have changed. He could have changed. He could have said, I realize it is wrong, but God in his infinite wisdom and his foresight of the future saw Judas wasn't going to change, and that's why the prophecy was written. But look at the opportunity they're given now. You have this opportunity to look at yourself and to ask the question, is it I? But let's go further into Mark chapter 14. Let's drop down now to verses 26 through 28. Verses 26 through 28 of Mark 14. And here we find this. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Now, again, that's a major thing to say. And then he goes on to say in verse 28, after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. But again, that must have shocked them. They're no longer in the Passover feast setting. They've left the room. But Jesus says, all of you. Now, remember, in the first statement he had made, he said, one of you will betray me. Now he is saying, all of you will forsake me. All of you. And again, that must have been stunning. It must have been something that caught them completely off guard. And let's read on what it says about their reaction. Verse 29, Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And we know, don't we, that Peter was so emphatic about that no, Lord, that's not going to be me. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to do that. But let's not overlook the fact, as Mark tells us at the last of that verse, they all said the same. They were all denying the possibility that they would forsake Jesus. And so here's another opportunity that Jesus is giving them, a pretest, you might say. Here's what's going to be on the test, and I know you're going to fail. This time we're not told that they said, "Is it I?" Maybe they should have. Maybe they should have realized Jesus knows what he's talking about. And if he's telling me that I'm not going to survive the night without fleeing, forsaking him, I'd better do something to try to prevent that. I'd better give myself strenuously, intensively to prayer. Just like Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, stay and watch with me for this time. Watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They had the opportunity. There it was. But they didn't take advantage of it. You see, the 12 had an opportunity that night to reflect on the warnings Jesus had given them. They started the process by asking, "Is it I?" That was good. We'll give them the benefit of that doubt. But they didn't do anything to strengthen those weak areas. Let's ask ourselves, how do we respond to Jesus' warnings? Now, Jesus has never said, "One of you is going to betray me," although that happens still in this day and time, has always since the church came into existence. And Jesus hasn't said to us, "One of you is going to flee and forsake me," although that happens pretty commonly. But there are a lot of warnings that Jesus gives. And I wonder, how seriously do we take them? Do we use that as an opportunity, like a pretest, to strengthen the weak areas and to do better than we would have done otherwise? I think of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Here, Paul had just talked about some occasions in Israel's history where they had failed the test. They had done things that were just unbelievable for people that have been led out of Egypt by the power of God. And look at what they've done time and time and time again. Now listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12. "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." And Paul is very open there, very explicit. We've got examples of people that messed up. Are we paying attention? Are we listening to that? Are we examining ourselves and asking, as it were, "Lord, is it I? Am I capable of that?" And what I'd like to do now for the next little bit is just take you through a very few passages. I think I've got seven of them we're going to look at just briefly. Most of them are in Matthew chapter 6, so go ahead and turn to that. But in these cases, Jesus is saying, beware. Don't do this. And again, it's much like what he was doing with the disciples the night that he was betrayed. He's giving them the opportunity to look at themselves and prepare themselves and not fall as they otherwise might have. And that's going to be our opportunity as well. So Matthew chapter 6, let's look at some of those warnings. We'll begin in verse 1. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Here's what Jesus said. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And we've often talked about this, and we've said, you know, think of those Pharisees that loved to be called rabbi, and they paraded themselves in front of the people and did those holy things so that everybody would see what they were doing and applaud them and praise them as being the most holy in all of Israel. Don't be like that, we have said. But let's apply it to us today. Are we capable of that? Lord, is that me? Could I do that? And I'll confess, as a preacher of the gospel, I've got to be on guard on this, because I could actually be preparing sermons not to preach the truth necessarily, but to please the audience. I could design it in such a way so that people will be more likely to say, boy, that was a great sermon, Tim. And I can't fall to that. I've got to ask myself, Lord, is that me? Could I be making that mistake? And in other forms of our religion, are we just doing it so that other people will see what we're doing? And if we know they're not going to be watching, well, we're not going to bother with that. You see, this is a warning that Jesus gives us. And we've got to be like those disciples who ask, Lord, is it I? Is that a problem in my life? And actually be honest about searching ourselves. Again, in Matthew 6, let's go down to verse 7. Look at another of those statements of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And again, we've often talked about the Pharisees and other holy people of Judah and how they would get on the street corners, kind of like Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and how that Pharisee went on and on, oh Lord, you are so lucky to have me on your side. And we're not that way. You know, we don't do that, but is it still possible that we could be in violation of this? That instead of genuine prayer, we simply say the same words that we typically do. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot say the same words in your prayer that you normally say. I think you absolutely can if your heart is in it, if you're really thinking those words. But how easy it is to just recite words that we have said over and over again, kind of like singing the songs that we sing, and we get through it and we say, well, what did I just sing? I don't remember what I just sang. Is that the way we approach our prayers? And so again, we've got to approach prayer as a time when we genuinely open up to God, where we bear our souls before Him, tell Him what is in our heart, tell Him what our needs are as far as we can see them. Lord, is it I that you're talking about? Is that a problem in my life? We need to take it seriously. Go down to verses 19 and 20 again in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here's one that really we've got to spend some time with, I mean individually. Because we're living in a very prosperous land. We are surrounded by the comforts of life, and it's easy to get addicted. And that becomes our main pursuit in life. We are laying up treasures on earth, treasures that will ultimately fail. Now, it's not wrong to earn a paycheck. In fact, that's very commendable, to earn a paycheck when we're able to do that. And it's okay to have a house to live in and a car to drive and even a nice car to drive. But if that becomes our main pursuit, if I am putting more emphasis on worldly goods than on being right in the sight of God, than laying up treasures in heaven, by serving the Lord, by serving other people, by genuinely worshiping Him, then I am failing at this. And Jesus speaks these words for me. So again, we've got to hear what He says and ask, Lord, is it I? And again, don't just say the words. Follow it up with genuine soul searching. Matthew 6 again. Look at verse 25 and verse 33. They're very similar. They say somewhat different things. But he says in Matthew 6 verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not, a warning again, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then down at verse 34, after going into more detail on that, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And again, some of us are more apt to do this. We are more the worriers. I worry about certain things more than I need to. And here Jesus is saying, put your trust in God. If you are serving Him, if you are seeking first the kingdom of God, He will provide everything that is needed. Why do you worry? Why do you let those things get you all upset and just unfocused? And so again, he's saying, don't worry about things. Don't worry about the future. You have no control over the future. God is the one who controls that. Focus on today. Focus on what we have to have. And then God, trust God to provide all of the rest. So again, we've got to stop and say, Lord, is that me? Did you say that for me? He said it for somebody. Am I one of those that needs that admonition and that needs to do something to strengthen that area of weakness? Now let's leave Matthew 6 and go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. And here is another of those statements that we need to listen to and think about. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. There are parallel accounts given in Matthew and Mark, but Luke gives us a little more detail that helps us to know what he's talking about. In the meantime, he says, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, Matthew and Mark just leave it at that. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod or the Herodians. But now Luke tells us what that is. Because Luke says, which is hypocrisy. Now again, none of us want to think that we're hypocritical. Not even the hypocrites want to think that they're hypocritical, right? But somebody is. This is a warning for somebody. And again, we've got to ask ourselves carefully, could that be me? Is it I, Lord? Am I the one that you're talking about? Are my actions prompted by genuine love for you? Or is it more because somebody may be watching and I don't want them to think I'm not a Christian, so I'll go ahead and do this? Beware of that leaven. Don't be hypocritical. And genuinely ask the Lord as we look at that, as we meditate just on that one verse, is it I? Am I the one that's doing that, Lord? Help me to see myself accurately. One other example I'll give you, although the list could go on and on a long time. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. This is Jesus again speaking, this time dictating a letter through John. And this is to the church at Laodicea. We know this passage very well. Revelation 3 and verse 15. Where Jesus says to the church there in Laodicea, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. And the danger there, of course, is lukewarmness. We have a blah kind of faith. That's not good. I mean, it's good to have faith. But we can never be content with a faith that says, well, I'm just kind of keeping the status quo. I'll make sure that I don't slip backwards, but I'm not going to be too worried about moving forward either. Jesus said, I would that you were either hot or cold. Because when you're hot, when you're fervent in your faith, people see that. It's infectious. When you're cold, that too can be infectious. And other people start slipping just like you are slipping. And so again, we've got to look at ourselves. We say, oh, what a terrible group of people that must have been. Well, could I be part of that camp? Is it I, Lord? Am I like that? But you get the idea. The point is, we have to look at these warnings as if Jesus is speaking them directly to us. Because you know what? He is. He is speaking these directly to us. And if he were standing there looking me in the eye and he said any of these things that we've looked at or a number of others, what would we say? Lord, are you talking to me? And we would know he is, but he is through the word. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. We've got to grapple with that and honestly assess our lives. Listen again, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. We read it earlier. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, where Paul said, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." And who is that written to? The person that thinks they are standing. Don't take it for granted. Don't assume everything is okay in your life. Let it be a life of constant searching, constant examination. And you know what? The Lord has given us the perfect setting in which to do that. 1 Corinthians 11, look at that again. We've talked about it a couple of times today already and this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 28, this is about the Lord's Supper. And you remember what it says, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." There are two things about the Lord's Supper I've got to understand. Number one, it's all about Jesus dying on the cross for me. And that's what he means when he says, if you eat and drink without discerning the body, then you're bringing judgment upon yourself. You've got to be focused on that. But secondly, it's also all about how I look to God in view of that sacrifice. Let a man examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And if I can do that properly, then I can avoid verse 30, where it says, some are weak and ill, and some have died. He's not talking about physical illness. He's talking about spiritual weakness and death. Lord, is it I? That's an excellent question to ask, all the while we're reading God's Word. Because he's speaking to us. He's giving us an opportunity to assess ourselves, to find those weak areas of our lives, and do something about it. Tonight, the invitation will be given in just a moment. We'll sing a song that will encourage those who are not yet Christians to come and confess their faith that Jesus is the Son of God, to be buried in Christ in the act of baptism, after they've repented of their sins. I want you to ask, is that me? Are they singing that for me? And the answer is yes, we are. We really hope you'll come forward to be baptized into Christ, if that is your need. Or if you are a child of God, but one that has fallen away, has become lukewarm, or just flat out cold, we're singing it for you. Is it for me? Is it I, Lord? God knows. You know. Now be honest with yourself as we stand and sing.